Where would we be without you, Jesus? Oh Lord, you're so good to us. Your love invades our lives and fills those empty spaces, heals the broken hearts, Lord, and sets the prisoners free. Jesus, you do everything well. Lord, you're worthy of all glory and praise. Rightly, Lord, you are the praise of heaven. Lord, we offer our thanks and worship to you this morning. Lord, we pray that we may walk with you along the side and the fields and the lake of Galilee, Lord, as we come to your word, minister in our lives, as we look at what you've done and the way you do it, Lord, and love you and worship you and trust you, Lord. Bless us, we pray this morning, as we share from your word also. We ask it, Father God, by the help of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God's wonderful way of tying things together. How God, you discover this, we're going to look at that this morning, you discover how God weaves all sorts of things together in your lives, in the situations that you're in, so that they, in the end, if that's the case, in the end, they come right. It doesn't always sit, it just looks like a tangle to start with, but God's weaving and working things through. So let's have a look at our next picture, please, and that gives us the reference we're looking at. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 40. It's the story of the dead girl and a sick woman. Luke puts those two together, as the other Gospel writers do, because they do come together in a very interesting and amazing way. So let's read it first, shall we? Luke chapter 8, and verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there, who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." And while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. And then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Praise the Lord. Right, so let's have a look at the story, shall we? The two things that perhaps you noticed already is to do with the number 12. One had a period of 12 years of sunshine. Fancy having, after all, maybe a while of waiting after they married, they have a little girl. She comes along, the delight of their hearts, and growing up beautifully till she's 12 years old. 12 years of sunshine. Wonderful, eh? And at the same time, there's a woman in the crowd for the exactly the same period who's had 12 years of misery. You know, she has been subject to all this hemorrhaging, and it's a serious, serious problem for her. Not only in terms of her health, which would have obviously gone downhill, but also in terms of social exclusion. Someone with this, as we'll see later on, is not welcome in public society, and certainly not welcome at the temple. So, 12 years of misery for one, 12 years of sunshine for the other, and it all crowds together on this day. Okay, so next then, please. What a contrast! Before we begin the story, he says, when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. And as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. So, when Jesus arrives back in the boat from the other side of the Galilee, he's welcomed. What had happened to him on the other side of the Galilee was, they told him to leave. They didn't want him interfering with their lives and messing things up like the pig business. You know, so Jesus left a secret agent. The man was healed to do the work for him. But he's welcomed by this crowd. Obviously they're expecting amazing things. They're beginning to hear what Jesus is like and what he can do. So there they are. They're all pleased to see Jesus. That's good, isn't it? Good to welcome Jesus. Just make sure he stays that way. Right, next slide, please. Right. A man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. I've asked you the question there. What did it take for him to come to Jesus?
Faith.
Well, he had to come in faith. He knew that Jesus could do something. But think about it. What made him decide to go and see Jesus?
He
was desperate. Isn't that sometimes what God allows in our lives? There's, you know, he has to use sledgehammers to crack some jolly hard nuts. And aren't we hard nuts at times? Yeah. And so God permits some of these difficult things to come into our lives. But it's more than that for Jairus, you know. I don't know how sympathetic he was to Jesus, but he might have been the exception. You know, situations make people behave differently. But in general, what were the authorities? And he's one of the authorities, you know. He's a synagogue ruler. He's one of the top boys in Israel. Okay? And in general, what did the authorities think of Jesus? They weren't too keen on Jesus. We don't want to be associated with this roughneck from Galilee, you know. I mean, he was from Galilee as well, so maybe he was a bit more sympathetic. But, you know, he had to humble himself, I suspect. What will all my synagogue friends think? You know, all the other top brass. What will they think of me going to Jesus? Well, by the time he's got to the situation he's in, I suspect he couldn't care less. Things are that bad. He sees his daughter reeling in a very bad way, expecting her to die. And so, Jesus is the one he's heard about. Maybe Jesus can help. So he goes. Isn't that wonderful? So, God allows things, and situations come along, and you have to humble yourself and whatever, but he's going to Jesus. And we know the end of the story, don't we? When you go to Jesus, you won't be disappointed. Praise the Lord for that. So, onward. He came and fell at Jesus' feet. Now, that's humbling, isn't it? But when you're desperate, dear friends, and you know the enemy plays people up like that. When people are desperate, they'll try anything. And quite often, the devil will draw you off into some cult or some sect or some weirdo stuff, right? And you know, the Christian stuff, Jesus, the real thing, they sort of get chucked away from that. But this man comes to Jesus. He fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of 12, was dying. Now, I don't know if you remember the story we sometimes a few weeks ago about the centurion. Remember the centurion? He said, my servant, my favourite, one of his favourite servants, is dying and, you know, he's no good. As he is, bless him, and would you heal him? And Jesus says, okay, I'll come. And the man says, no, don't bother coming. You don't need to come. All you have to do is tell him. You know, just say the word and he'll be healed. That's faith, isn't it? Jesus was amazed. Well, I don't know if this man's got the same degree of faith, I don't know if he has, but he wants Jesus to come to his house. Right? The nearer Jesus is, the better, I suppose. But there you are. Jesus could have spoken the word, but Jesus has got things to do through this as well. So, come to my house. So, he asks this man, he pleads with Jesus, come to my house and heal her. And what's Jesus' response? He goes. He doesn't say, oh, I'm too busy. I would. Well, some days anyway, yeah. How about you? Yeah. When God interrupts your schedule, Jesus has got teaching to do. He's got other things to do. And this guy comes along and says, will you come to my house and heal my daughter? And Jesus says, yes, he goes. Is that, now, I've got news for you. Today, Jesus is not confined to his earthly body. He can go with you as well as everybody else. So, you're all right now, aren't you? But at that point in time, Jesus says, okay, I'm coming. So, off he goes. Next one, please. So, as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. That's a very powerful word, isn't it? Word. You know, I mean, they're squashing Jesus. There's so many bustling around and whatever. Of course, there's quite a crowd of them, yes. That's all it was. It was just a big crowd. And you tend to get this... Like on the tubes. You've been on the tubes?
Yeah.
Yeah, rush hour? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, good memories. A bit like that, yeah? So, Jesus is being crushed by the crowd. Of course, there's all sorts of people touching him. Aren't there? That's what Peter's going to say later on. But, aha, next please. Right. There was a woman who was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Right. Well, that's terrible. Anybody been anemic ever? You ladies in particular, maybe, possibly. What does anemia do to you?
Tired,
down, and when you're tired, your body's out of order, your mind's out of order, you are down. Right. She's had 12 years of that. Right. 12 years of that. And what's the effects of her condition? Isolation. As I said, people won't be near her. She's not allowed to go near people. You know? That's the sad thing, right? And weakness, of course. As I say, some of you probably know better than... I've been blessed with good health so far, thank the Lord, yeah? But when you see people who are weak, you know, it's not funny. So what she did was a colossal effort on her part, if you think about it, to get her way through the crowd. You know, when you're in the tubes, you've got to find your way through, haven't you? She's got to do the same, right? And added on to that, why did she do it secretly? I suspect it was embarrassment. You know, this is not a nice condition to have. It's a woman's problem, yeah, woman's problem. And so she is not wanting to broadcast this far and wide, is she? So if she can get it sorted out on the quiet. And yet she's heard about Jesus. And so she knows that if she just goes to see Jesus, she might just get sorted. Right, let's see our next one then. So I've put down the actual verse in the Bible that says that. In Leviticus 15-25, there are regulations about discharges that cause ceremonial uncleanness. Sounds all very clinical and technical, but basically, if you've got some discharge of some sort, you weren't allowed to go to the temple. You weren't allowed to offer sacrifices. And think about it, Israel is what we call a theocracy. Religion is at the heart and centre of the life of the nation. So when you're cut off from the centre, I mean, that's serious isolation for the poor woman, right? We don't know her name. The Lord's kept it quiet, didn't he? Right. Okay, so, next then, how about this? A woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. That's how Luke puts it. But Mark adds the extra details. She had suffered a great deal under the care, I think the word care should be in inverted commas there, under the care of many doctors, and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Right. Now, I want to say this. Jesus isn't, and I'm not because Jesus isn't, against doctors, right? And against medicines, right? All the research, all the work, all the gifts that God's given to people to discover things that can help us, we thank God for, right? Okay? But, they're only human. They have their limits. And in their days, they didn't have all the stuff we've been blessed by, right? And the doctors tried to help her, and the effect of it was they cleaned her out of her money and they reduced her health. Great, isn't it? There, how about that? Sad, isn't it? She tried, but didn't do them any good. Well, so when you go to the doctors, just remember they're human, pray that God will use them. When God uses them, they'll help you. When God doesn't use them, they might just reduce your prospects. Okay, so, next question is, what did it take for her to come to Jesus? 12 years of problems. Right? That man had Jairus had a crisis, she's had chronic. Right? It's been ongoing for so long. But she heard Jesus was around, and Jesus only just appeared on the scene. Remember, his ministry was only a 3-year ministry. She's been going for 12 years. So Jesus comes onto the scene as a bright light. And so she comes to Jesus. But it took a lot. Again, she's risking everything, isn't she? Exposure. She's risking failure because she can't get to Jesus and all of that. Yeah? So, and embarrassment. It could all go terribly wrong. So, what's going to get her there? It's her faith. She believes that Jesus is the one who can help her. Right? He'll do some funny things if you believe that God can help you. Don't you? Good. You're going to do funny things sometimes. Just because he wants you to do it. Yeah? Right? Alright, so she's not worried in the final thing. Her needs are greater than her worries. Well, the Lord allows that sometimes in our lives as well. You know. So on we go. Let's see our next one. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. That's how Luke tells us it, right? So I've got two pictures there, right? She came up behind him and touched the edge of her cloak. Which picture is correct? Can you see? The left one. Right. She didn't just touch the edge of his cloak. It wasn't just, you know, anywhere. She wasn't touching his cloak anywhere. She touched something very special about his cloak.
Tassels.
The tassels.
Yeah.
I'll show you in the next picture, but just wait a moment. Yeah. In the Jewish garments, they were to have tassels on the corners, right? They were had knots in them. We'll look at it in a moment. They had knots and all sorts of things in them. She went for that, right? And I'll show you why in a moment. She touched the tassel of his garment, right? And she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Right? She just touches that, she'll be healed. Right? Why did she think that? She's got faith.
Yeah.
Right, well, I just want to show you the next picture, just to fill in the details. There you are, there's a Jewish gentleman with his prayer shawl. Can you see the tassels?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, there's the tassels on the corners, of course. But here's the longer version, and they've got special knots in them. And the special knots have all got symbolism, and there's a blue thread that goes through it. Right? And in in Numbers it says this. Speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corners of your garments, with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, so that you will remember all the commands of the Lord. Then you will remember to obey all my commands, and will be consecrated to your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Right, so that tassel says a lot. Right, that's the point of it, yes? It's a visual aid. That's what it's about. Okay, so the tassel has knots in it. The number of knots tell you that it's about the Bible, it's about God's commands. And what's the blue cord for? What's the blue cord for? Well, that's interesting, yeah? Well, it doesn't actually say, but I'll make a good guess. Did you know that the blue dye was incredibly expensive? Yeah? A blue dye, in those times, was very, very expensive. But every Israelite had to have a little bit of blue in their garments, right? Because they're all royalty. That's what it's about. You're all royalty when you're God's children, you see? So, alright, so that's the tassel that she focused on. Now then, I've read some commentaries about this. And a couple in particular I've read that say that what the woman did was superstitious. You know, she thought if she just touches Jesus, she'll be healed. You know, it was a sort of superstitious thing. Her faith was there, but there was superstition added into it, yeah? Right? Now then, what do you think to that? I don't think so. And I'll tell you what, I think the people who said those things don't know what the tassels are all about. She is focusing on something about Jesus that is the very centre of what Jesus' life is all about. God's law, living to please God, honouring God. She's getting in touch with the core of Jesus. Right? To touch the tassel is a symbolic representation of getting to the heart of Jesus. That's how I understand. That's not superstition. That's going for the bullseye. Isn't it? So she wants to get in touch with the thing that Jesus is focused on, pleasing God. And the other thing about it is, I suspect this, that tassel reminds her that God is the Lord who delivered them out of Egypt. He's the God who can save them. So when you go for that, you realise you're getting in touch with the God who can save you. She needs that. The doctors haven't done a lot of good. So I don't think that's superstition at all. This woman's got her focus on Jesus and all that Jesus represents through those tassels. Right.
Jesus said, your faith.
Your faith has healed you, yes. Yes. She got her faith in him. Of course, it was in him. Next slide, please. Right. Immediately her bleeding stopped. How did she know that? She felt better. Have you ever had that moment when you suddenly, I feel well today? I wish, I pray that for all of you. Every morning, yes. But you're working on it, Jean, aren't you?
Yeah,
right. And it says, Mark says, she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Right, isn't that wonderful? She's been healed, so she can sneak off now, can't she?
No.
What else does she need?
Blessing.
She needs, well, she's been blessed, but yes. But there's something else. No? Remember, everybody knows she's a no-no-go area woman. Right? And if she's healed, she's still, as far as the public's concerned, a no-go area. She might be just cunning us. Right? She needs to have it out in the open so that everybody knows she's healed. Right? And Jesus is not going to let her get away by not having that public declaration. So, but that's what's going on. Right, next then, please. Right, so Jesus says, who touched me? Jesus asked. And when they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Yes. How did he know that? He experienced power going out from him. And what's the difference here? Well, we'll look at that in a moment. It says, Jesus kept looking round to see who had done it. Now then, you know, Jesus is God, isn't he? He could know everything straight away. But we told here that Jesus was looking around to see who it was.
Right?
He's a man, right? And in that situation, he's limited his in understanding and knowledge, in a sense, hasn't he? So what, he's acting like someone who is, something's happened, and he wants to see who it is. And he's searching through the crowd and looking at them all. Oh, touch me! And his eyes fasten on the dear little lady who's just been healed. Right? And their eyes meet, I suspect. And she looks down and is embarrassed and all of that. But Jesus calls her out. Yes? He calls her out. Now then, what's the difference between the crowd's touch and hers? Like, they're all bumping into Jesus. But she... They touch the body of Jesus, the clothes, right? She touched the heart of Jesus. And the power of God came from him because her faith contacted him. It wasn't just her hands, it was her faith that contacted Jesus. And as a result of that, the switch was turned on. You know that's how it works. Okay? Right? God operates through your faith. If you won't trust him, the power can't come. That's the way it works. Trust him, hold your uncle. Great, eh? Simple, you know. There you are. Right, next slide, please. Right. So, this is what she needs now. The woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. And in the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she'd been instantly healed. And then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Isn't that lovely? What was she worried about? That Jesus would tell her off for stealing her healing. How about that, eh? I suspect that's what she thought. Yeah? Jesus would tell her off for not going about it the right way. And what did Jesus say? Daughter. He says, daughter. Right? I said, these words are important. I put the knots up at the top. Those words are key. Right? It's not just Jesus ministering to her. He's doing something bigger than that. Yeah? As we'll see in a moment. Right? So, he says to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Right? And what has Jesus just done for her is she's back in the public arena. She can be now seen as one of the touchables as opposed to the untouchables.
Can you get married now?
Bless her. I don't know what she wants to do. But anyway, I think she'd probably go to the temple and say, praise the Lord. Yeah. Wow. So, that's good, isn't it? Right? Yeah. Right, next please. Right. While Jesus was still speaking, right? While Jesus is still speaking, there's Jairus wanting Jesus to go with him. Right? Slow. Delay is expected. We're very sorry about it. What do you think? Jesus was thinking.
Jairus.
What do you think Jairus was thinking?
We should
come on, get a move on. Have you been like that in the queues?
Yes.
Yes, right. Come on, Jesus. I've got an important matter on my mind. Get moving. Do something. Right? But Jesus knows that Jairus needs to see what's just happened because Jesus knows what's coming next. Okay? Jairus is just about to be hit with the worst news possible. Right? And what's one of the things that's going to keep Jairus floating is having seen that Jesus can do it now for others. Right? What Jesus has done for them, maybe he can do it for me. So, Jesus knows that Jairus had to see that. So, it wasn't a delay after all. It was a lesson that he had to learn before he got to the house. Right? And, interesting, the words that Jesus used, as we'll see in our next one. No, not yet. Just after. Someone came from the house of Jairus, a synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, he said. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Waste of time. Too late.
A bit more sympathy than that.
I hope they... What? What?
I'm sure he said it with...
You sure he said it with more sympathy? It sounds right. It does sound rather brutal to me. Your daughter is dead, don't bother the teacher anymore. Well, I might be wrong there, but it does sound a bit brutal to me. Yeah, don't bother anymore, she's had it, you've gone, she's gone. Too late. It may be more sympathetic, my wife can do better than I can. She's got more sympathy. Right, okay, next picture then, please. Right, so, the knots tied together. God ties things together in amazing ways, right? Now, remember what Jesus said to the woman? Daughter, your faith has healed you. Using the word saved or healed, because healing is big, yeah? Right? And daughter, your faith has saved you. Right? And he says to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be saved. Same word. Right? And he's talking about a daughter. He's called the woman's daughter, and he's talking about the man's daughter. Those little keys all click together to help this bloke keep floating. You need all the help you get when you get hammered with good news like that. Okay, so, Jesus is basically saying, trust me. Just trust me. Yeah, they told you the bad news. I've got some good news. Trust me. Right, next then, please. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John and James and the child's father and mother. Why not? He only took that small group in with him. I'll give you two possible reasons. Verse 52 and 53. What happened in verse 52 and 53? Jesus said, the child's not dead, she's asleep. And what did they do? Laughed. Yeah. We've got a right one here, they're thinking, yeah? This guy doesn't know a dead woman, he sees one. Right? We've got a right one here. They're laughing at him, and Jesus will not operate in unbelief. Right? So they won't be in on the gang, right? Not so. Out. Push that one out, yeah? Right, so he takes the few in, who are his followers, and the mum and dad, right? And the other is, I think this is important, Jesus isn't a performer. What he does for you. It's not that so everybody else can see it. I mean, he does cause us to be visible sometimes, but this is something private and personal. Because I just hated that with the woman when he brought her out in the public. Whereas this one, he keeps what you'd like to have in the public, keeps it private. God does things in interesting ways, doesn't he? Right, so, not a spectacle. Next then, please. Right. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned and at once she got up. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is Lord of all. She got up. She came back to life. And there's a lesson here as well. I don't know if you may not be aware of this. What words did Jesus use? Anybody know the Aramaic, Hebrew words for it? He said, Talitha kaum, which means little girl, get up. Right? Little girl, get up. Right? Who was there with Jesus? The disciples. One of them was called Peter. Right? And some years, a few years later, Peter's called to a room where there's a dead woman laid out, just died, Dorcas. Right? And what does Peter do? He prays and he says, Tabitha, not Talitha, Tabitha, that's her name, Tabitha, sorry, was her name. Tabitha Kaum. And what did she do? Brilliant, eh? Lord's good. Jesus is Lord of all. Still going. Strong, yeah. Praise the Lord. Next one, please. Right. There's a public announcement. Sorry, folks, the funeral's on. Yes. I wonder what they thought. And they, and maybe it was right. Maybe she was asleep. See, Jesus isn't making it sort of too obvious for him, yeah. He knows better than we do. Well, that's true. Right. Anyway, the funeral's off. Never mind. Okay, next please.
Fill the whole back up.
Fill the whole back up, yes. Or two, same for somebody else. Yeah. Right. Jesus then told them to give her something to eat. The parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. So, two things Jesus says, first of all, give her something to eat. Why did he say that? She's hungry, right? You know, dying's a very tiring job, you know. But it proves something. It proves something. Give her something to eat. She's hungry. What's that prove? She's not only alive, he's not just brought her back from... Right? She's up and running. She's fit. When you're fit, you want to eat, right? Give her something to eat. And, another reason...
Keep
mum busy. You know, when you're excited, I mean, you want to do something when you're excited, don't you? Get her some food, rustle up some grub for her, yeah? Great, eh? So Jesus, such a wonderful psychologist, he knows how we tick, yeah? And he knows what's just right for them as well as for her. That's okay, so rustle up some grub, get her something to eat, yeah? Be good, yeah? And also, we celebrate with, do you think they had something to eat as well?
Yes.
I suspect so. So it's a celebration meal, isn't it, yeah? Now, that's one of the things. The other is he said he told them not to tell anybody what had happened. He ordered them not to say anything. Why? Why? Well, you remember last time when we talked about the Gadarenes, right? Jesus said to the bloke, go home and tell the people what the Lord has done for you. And he went around and told everybody what Jesus had done. Jesus tells him to go away and tell. And I told you why last time Jesus told them to go away and tell. Can you remember? Ah, dear. I'm not wasting my breath on you. It was this. In the area where the man who was healed of the demons was, it was substantially Gentile. Right? So they'd not got any funny ideas about who Messiah should be. So he can go and tell them about Jesus anywhere he likes. Yeah? Round here, in the Jewish quarter, where this has happened, synagogue ruler, remember? Right? In the Jewish quarter, they've got some funny ideas about Messiah. And Jesus is going to have to clear them out before he reveals who he is. In a very real and clear way. Because they thought the Messiah was going to come and smash the Romans. And set up his kingdom like that. And Jesus said, I'm not here to smash Romans, I'm here to save them. And my kingdom isn't of this world, it's eventually in the future going to be of this world, but not now. So all that's going to be rewritten into their thinking. So if he goes around telling them, I've done this fantastic miracle like that straight away, he's going to botch up the system, isn't he? He's trying to teach them before they get muddled up. Right? That's why he didn't want them to talk about it. But I've got news for you. After Jesus has died and risen from the dead, you're allowed to say as much as you like about Jesus. Yeah? Because we know what the Messiah's like now, don't we? Yeah. So we don't need retraining. So you can tell them all. Right? So don't take these words as applying to you. Right? You have to tell. So, my last page for you. Here you are. So what? Are the Lord put all these little things together to make it all work? I've got this. Is the Lord connecting things in your life that perhaps you don't understand yet? Because he knows best and he loves you. Have you got it all sussed out? You know what God's doing? It's all working out. You've got it all figured out. Well, all I can say is you've probably looked back going, okay, yes, God knows what he's doing, but you don't always know. There's a lovely verse in, is it in Deuteronomy? I think it's 29, something like that. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong to us and our children. God tells you things, he wants you to know them. But you know, God does things that you don't always know until it all clicks. Right? It just looks like knots in the mud, but God's putting things together in your life. Right? And he knows what he's doing, and he loves you. So what does he want you to do?
Trust him.
Trust. It's all about faith. Faith is trust. Yeah? It's not, faith isn't I believe that Jesus is God's son, and that he died and rose again. That's not faith. Yeah? The devil believes that Jesus is God's son, and he died and rose again. Did you know that? Yeah, the devil has no problem in believing who Jesus is. Right? The big thing makes the difference is the devil doesn't trust Jesus. Right? He wants you to trust him, that you can put your life in his hands, you can ask him to help you, and you can ask him to show things to you, and you can ask him to guide you and protect you. That's trust. That's called faith. There's another word for it, right? So I prefer the word faith. I prefer the word trust rather than faith. One last little illustration. A missionary many years ago, I've told this story some time ago, missionary was out in some foreign land in the Far East, and he was working on a translation of the Bible amongst some tribal area. And he couldn't think of the word to use for the word for faith. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not... God loved so loved the world he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And he wanted to find the right word for whoever believes in him. He couldn't quite think of the word in their language. Right? And one day the tribal elder came into the little hut where he was working away with his manuscripts and whatever. And while he's there, the tribal elder comes in, and there's a little sort of stooly chair thing thereby, and the elder just leant on it. Yeah, he just leant on the top of the chair to hold his weight. And inspiration. He says, can you tell me what the word is for what you're doing now? What do you mean? He says, leaning, putting all your weight on it. Yeah? Because if that goes, you're on the floor. Huh? Leaning with it, all your weight on it. He says, what's the word that is? And he told him, I don't know the word was in their language. He says, that's the word I want for faith. Whoever believes in Jesus puts their weight on him. So if he goes, you're out. Yeah, but he's not going to go. Right? He's trusting. He's not, I believe the chair will hold me up. Everybody can believe that. It's when you lean on it to find out if it will or not. Right? That's exactly what we're talking about here. God says, trust me. Do you trust him?
Yes.
Well, I hope you do. And if you haven't, work on it. Ask him to help you to trust him. Yeah? Let's just pray, shall we? Father, thank you for Jesus. Your son's the best, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know how to handle things, Lord. And while you were here on earth, you did things so wisely and so well. Lord, forgive us where we get impatient and think you're not doing it as fast as we want. Lord, we are impatient people. We ask your mercy. We pray, Lord, that you will work your will in our lives. And help us, Lord Jesus, like that woman, to reach out and trust and touch your heart, Lord. To believe in you and see that you can make a difference for us. Thank you, Lord, that Jairus came believing you, Lord, with his limited faith and all the things that were against him, and you still did it for him, Lord. Thank you. Lord, it's not because we're the best, it's because you're the best that you do these things for us. So, Lord, we just bless and praise your name and ask you to help us to trust you more and more as the days unfold. Lord, be glorified in our lives as we praise you, and help us to declare it, Lord, that we have found a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Bless you, Jesus, for being our Saviour. Thank you today.